voice to him on a personal level a little bit. Father, we worship you. We adore you, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We magnify you. We offer up a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips giving glory unto your name. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We adore you. We magnify you. Oh, we love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. You know, it's important for each and every one of us, no matter where you're at in your Christian walk with the Lord, to learn how to do what we just did. Not just sing along with a song, but to learn how to worship the Lord on a personal level, for you to just draw near to Him with even your own words. A couple of years ago, I was doing a series on praise and worship, so I began studying the subject, really like I'd never studied it before. And I came away with one major taking point for me personally, and it was this: that God's greatest desire, the thing that He longs for more than anything else, is for you to draw near into His presence. That was the intent of His original creation, was to have someone who would fellowship with Him, who would draw near to Him. That is God's greatest desire. When you worship the Lord, when you draw near to the Lord in praise and worship and magnifying Him, you're fulfilling the Lord's greatest desire. And while I saw worship, us being in His presence, was His greatest desire, I saw that on the flip side of that, it was our greatest need. That our greatest need in this life is to be in His presence. That the highest thing we can do for ourselves, the best thing that we can do for ourselves, is to take the time to be in His presence. I talked to a lady last night after the end of the Saturday night service. And after the Saturday night and 11:30 service, typically I'm able to get out in the foyer to meet and greet. I'd love to do it at the end of every service, but I want to rest my voice to make sure I have a voice for the service after this one. With that, after last night's service, I came across a lady. And I could tell when she walked up, she was very emotional. And she was an elderly lady. I think it was her first time here. I could be wrong. But she told me that her son passed away a couple of days ago. And I could just see the sadness on her face. And so she asked for me to pray with her. And I said, of course, I'll pray with you. And she meant like this week, would I keep her in my prayers? And I said, I'll do that for sure. But let me pray for you now. And as I began praying for her, that was the only thing I knew to pray, was that the Holy Spirit would comfort her, but then also that the Holy Spirit would lead her to Christ, to lead her into worship to greater degrees than ever before. Because it's in worship where we find our strength. It's in worship where we find our peace. It's in worship where life tends to settle down. Remember, we preached on this a couple of months ago. We said, the psalmist said, that when my heart is overwhelmed, teach me, Lord, to turn to the rock that is higher than I. And when your heart is overwhelmed, you have to understand what you need then is not a conversation. What you need then is not a tax break. What you need then is not someone to understand. You know what you need then is to worship. You need to go over to God. You need to encourage yourself over in the Lord. And so I want to encourage you, no matter where you're at, once again, in your Christian walk, begin to worship the Lord. Begin to praise the Lord. You don't have to sing. Like we said, everyone can sing. You can sing. I can sing. Now, you shouldn't record, but everyone can sing. Not everyone should be on the radio, but everyone can sing unto the Lord. Magnify Him. Draw near to Him in worship. Begin practicing His presence in your life. And watch what it does for you. Your presence is His greatest desire. His presence. Well, it's your greatest need. Take the time to fulfill His desire and meet your need. Amen. Amen. Let's worship a little bit more. Father, we love you today. We honor you. We praise you. We glorify you. You, O Lord, are the strength of our life. When our heart is overwhelmed, we turn to the rock that is higher than I. We love you, Lord. And Father, we ask of you to help us during this service. Help us to teach and preach. Help us, Lord, to minister with boldness and utterance. I thank you, Lord, for unction. Make my tongue the pen of a ready writer. Let it write your word upon the hearts of these your sheep. I thank you, Lord, that as we leave this place today, we leave dreaming bigger than when we came in. We leave with more faith than when we came in. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by your word. So we thank you. We leave here with greater levels of faith than ever before. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. I hear this in my heart, that faith is necessary like never before. That we must rise up as a body of believers with faith in our heart being expressed in our mouth. For there are many things that the Lord longs to do in your life and mine. There's many things that the Lord longs to do in this nation and yours. But it requires faith, faith built up in the heart and faith released through the mouth. So be sensitive to the Spirit of God and be sensitive to the things He's placed in your heart and be diligent to speak those things out of your mouth and release your faith. For there are many things that will not happen until faith is released. And there are many things that will happen that are not good things that can be stopped when faith is released. So be diligent to build up faith in your heart, but also be diligent to release faith through your mouth. And watch me begin to change things and watch the Lord begin to operate in your life and in mine. I hear the Lord say, it's time for faith. It's time for faith to take preeminence. Preeminence in our services, preeminence in our messages, preeminence in our life. For the just are to live by faith. No, don't draw back in this day and time. Live by faith. Press into the things I have for you, says the Spirit of the Lord. Live by faith. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's just pray now. Let's release our faith. And let's lift up what's going over on in Russia, what's going on in that nation over there. Father, we come before you today. And we thank you, Father, your will is done in this world. Father, we ask of you to have your way over in Russia. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that the plans and the tactics of the enemy, they come to naught in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus, your power, your spirit, your angelic host can go in and work change in ways that we never can. So, Father, we thank you. You give other government officials, including our nation and other nations, give our leaders wisdom on how to handle this situation. Father, we thank you that their wisdom confounds the tactics of the enemy. And, Father, we also thank you that by your power, that you do even beyond what we could do or what our government officials could do, that you cause a peace to settle down in that nation. You cause that unrest to die down in Jesus' name. Father, we ask of you to have your way in this nation. Have your way in that nation. You have a body of believers here, Lord, who desires for you to have your way. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that the enemy's plans will not prevail. The enemy's plans will not overcome. Father, we thank you. Your plan remains firm. Your plan remains steady. And your plan pushes back the plans of the enemy. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, for your plan being fulfilled in that nation, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We love you, Lord. Amen. It's good to come to church, isn't it? Even on a rainy, lightning, thundering morning, it's good to come to church, and we are certainly glad to have you here with us. I don't know about you, but I plan on releasing my faith. Amen. It's time. It's time to get in faith. It's time to take some new territory for the Lord. Amen? Amen. So let's do it. You do it. I'll do it. Let's together take new territory for our Lord and Savior. Amen? Turn to someone. Welcome them to Word of Life Church this morning. Let them know how glad you are to see them here. Amen. We're certainly glad to have each and every one of you here with us. We have a special visitor, I do believe, Miss Ellie Hine. Stand up if you will, please. She is a missionary in a wonderful, wonderful nation, and we're just delighted to have her here If you've seen any of the videos that we've shown where we've given motorcycles and different things to missionary work, that is their missionary work. And she's here for a big crusade that's going on in Christ for the Nations. And so she stopped by this morning to come to church here. So I wouldn't mind it at all if after the service you guys just went up to her and blessed her, shook her hand, thanked her for what she's doing in the world. It wouldn't bother me at all if you blessed her a little bit. Wouldn't hurt my feelings one iota. What they're doing, what her and her husband are doing, and the work that has been done in that nation is just absolutely, absolutely amazing. And so we're just delighted to have you here with us today. We celebrate you, we honor you, and we're thankful to have you in Word of Life. And in November, they're actually going to be here sharing in the church. So you don't want to miss that. I think it's November 9th somewhere in that area. So with that, we're glad to have her here, glad to have you here, and we believe God's got something for you. Open up your Bibles this morning with me to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 37. And we're going to read here in a minute, verse 3. On the screens, if you can go to Romans 15, verse 13, in the Living or New Living Translation, whichever one you guys have. Romans 15, verse 13, in the New Living Translation on the screens, Genesis chapter 37 in your Bibles. I've been talking about this a good bit here recently, and it's something that's been stirring on my heart for quite some time now, for me personally. But the Lord has been dealing with me to get myself and you to dream again. Some of you may have lost your dream, and it's been a while since you've dreamed. And so that's my message to you. Dream again. But for others of you, you've been dreaming. And for you, I just want to say, dream bigger. It's time for you to dream. That's a flash flood warning. Not for here. It's just someone's iPhone. I was in my car the other day, and I had it synced up to the speaker in the Bluetooth, synced up. And that flash flood warning came on, and it was a preacher. It was an old deal that I had on my deal, so I had the volume cranked up really loud. I literally almost drove off the road. The warning meant to save me almost hurt me. It's amazing how that works. So if you hear that, it's just saying somewhere around here there's a flash flood warning. So when you go home, be safe, but don't worry about that. So, but with that, I just have that on my heart, that if you haven't dreamed in a while, it's time for you to dream again. And if you are dreaming, I really have it on my heart to tell you to dream bigger. I said this, I was praying a couple of months ago, really in December, and I was watching a minister preach at another church. And he said that the Lord spoke to his heart when he was praying that last year was like a bridge. It was a bridge between the old and the new. And for people who would make the decision to go forward, they'd get over into new things, greater things than they had ever seen before. But there were other people who would make a decision to go back, to turn back, to not make that step and not cross that bridge. And it would cause them to stay in the old and remain there for quite some time. And when he said that, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart. And he said, for me and for this congregation, the first part of this year is a bridge, and it's almost over. First part of this year is a bridge. It's separating the old life you have from the new life God wants you to live. And I'm not saying that the old life is bad by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, it can be quite good, and that's dangerous as well. There's a new life God has for us, greater things, better things than we've ever seen before. And we're on this bridge, and you've got to make a decision to go forward. There are no other options on a bridge. You can't turn right, you can't turn left. You've got one or two options. You can go forward or you can go back. You can make progress or you can go back. And I think for many people, there's that temptation right now, whether to draw back and just kind of stay where we're at or whether to go forward. And I just have it in my heart to say, this is not the time to draw back. This is not the time to remain where we are. This is the time to go forward. This is the time to take new territory. This is not the time to be passive. This is the time to be aggressive. This is not the time to be satisfied. This is the time to be passionate. And so I'm trying to, and I really feel like the Spirit of the Lord is trying to get me stirred up, not just for me, but to get me stirred up, to get you stirred up, to make progress. Are we going forward or are we staying back? Are we making progress, dreaming new dreams, being aggressive with our faith, or are we maintaining the life that we have? Years ago, when the church was not doing well at all, the Lord spoke something to my heart. I make mention of this quite often. And this is what he said to me. He said, stop thinking survival. And at that time, that's all I was thinking about. What's survival? Let me keep what I have. Just let me keep what I have. Let me just keep it the same way it is. Let me just keep it the level it's at. Let me just keep what I have. Keep what I have. Keep what I have. He said, stop doing that. Stop thinking survival. It's time to start thinking increase. And he gave me that scripture, where there is no vision, people perish. And he said, where there is no vision for your life, and if that's when you're thinking about survival, you're not seeing what could be, you're seeing what is. But the Bible explicitly calls us to not walk by sight. No matter how good or bad it is, we're not called to be caught up in what we see. We're called to walk by faith. And faith has sight. That sight is called vision. And with that, sight sees what is, vision sees what could be. And the Lord started dealing with my heart. See what could be. See what could be. Stop thinking about just keeping the things that you have. Start thinking increase. And that's when this church, it took off. See, all achievement begins with a dream. I don't know your past. You don't know all of mine. But I do know this about your past. If there's anything you've achieved, whether it's a house you built or a marriage you had or a Bible school you built or a ministry you started, it all started with a dream. It has its origin in a dream. And after you dreamed that dream, then came the achievement. Achievement came after the dream. Now, there were steps in between. Yes, I know that. But that achievement started with the dream you were dreaming. And I don't know everyone's future. I stopped trying to predict the future a long time ago. If you're like me, there's no way you can predict. If you'd have told me 10 years ago I'd be doing this, I'd be doing that in this facility, that there would be things in my life that are in my life, people in my life that are in my life, I'd have laughed at you. There's no way I could have predicted it. But with that, we can't predict the future, but I do know this. Any achievement in your future will begin with a dream you're dreaming now. And if you don't have a dream you're dreaming now, there will be no achievement in the future. All achievement, past, present, or future, begins with a dream. Do you have one? Do you have a dream? I'm not asking, have you dreamt a dream? I'm asking, are you dreaming a dream? Currently, not right now, because I know it's a Sunday morning, it's kind of rainy, kind of cloudy, so you may be less enthusiastic this morning. But just in this general season of life, are you dreaming a dream? Are you maintaining the life that you have? Are you passionate about something? Is your spirit alive about something? Is your expector expecting? Are you dreaming? I was meditating on this scripture this morning right before I came out. Didn't think I'd share it. But with this, I saw it, Romans 15, verse 13. I love the YouVersion Bible app. It helps me meditate. Because see, I'm kind of a King James guy. But sometimes when I meditate, like Romans 15, 13, I'll pull it up in the King James, but then I'll flip through about 10 different translations. And the YouVersion Bible app enables you to do that. In Romans 15, verse 13, I really liked it out of the New Living Translation as well as the Amplified. Paul says this. He says, I pray that God, our maker, our father, our creator, notice, the source of hope, God is the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust him. Notice, when you trust him, what do you have? Joy and peace. If you don't have joy and peace, chances are your faith is beginning to fail. When you're in faith, you've got to keep your eye on those two things, joy and peace. But notice this. He says, then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, I pray that God, your Father, my Father, will fill you with hope. So much hope that it's overflowing. One translation says, fill you to the full until you're brimming. Have you ever filled a cup to the brim? It just means if you shook it a little bit, it's spilling out everywhere. He said, this is what God wants for you. The God of hope. He's the God of dreams. He's the God of increase. He's the God of progress. He's the God of moving things forward. The Holy Spirit's language is the language of vision and dreams. He says, the God of hope, the source of hope. I pray he does something for you. Pray he fills you with it. That you're filled with hope. That you're alive with something. Like a woman who's pregnant, that it's she knows there's something in her that's going to be produced later. He said, I want you this way with your hope, It's you're carrying around a life that's greater than the life that you have. It's you're carrying around a ministry that's greater than the ministry you have. It's you're carrying around a business that's greater than the business that you have. He said, I want this in you. I want you filled with hope until it's bursting out. You can't help but talk about it. You can't help but be excited about it. You can't help but communicate it to your wife, to your neighbor, to your dog. You're excited. Why? You know where you're going. And you know it's better than what you see right now. And with that, you're filled with hope. Does this describe you? For a while, that didn't describe me. It does now, but for a while it doesn't. It didn't. My vision, I've talked about this for about a year now. My vision, I noticed in my life, it wasn't near as big as it once was. And there was no good reason for it, because the things I had envisioned, I see right now. There was no good excuse for why my vision was greater 5 years ago than it was right now. I found in my life, I just got satisfied, just got content. Just got complacent. That's a dangerous place to be. But see, other people, they lack vision not because they're satisfied, but because they're discouraged. And instead of seeing a picture of great things, which is hope, they see a picture of negative things, which is fear and worry and anxiety. Faith has a vision to it. It's hope. It's a confident expectation of a glorious future. Fear has a vision to it. It's worry. It's a picture of things working out in a negative way. And that vision of worry chokes our dreams. Chokes the vision God's given us. And it's time for us to see what's going on and realize if we're ever going to get to those great things, I got to see them in here first. Before I see them out here, I'll see them in here. Before I hold it with my hand, I have to hold it with my heart. What are you holding with your heart? What are you holding with your heart? So the Lord's been asking me questions like that. What are you holding with your heart? What do you desire? Questions like he asked Abraham. Lift up your eyes from the place where you're at. What do you see? Great, you see where you're at. Fantastic. Lift up your eyes from that. See something else. See something greater. Lift up your eyes from where you're at. What do you see? He asked me questions like that. You know what my response was? I'll see what you want me to see. What do you want me to see? I'll desire what you want me to desire. I want what you want. If you want me to want it, then I want it. I had no vision. I had no vision. Mainly because I already had so much vision fulfilled. But friends, it's time for us to think increase. Because here's the problem. When you think survival, things never get better. They start to deteriorate. It's good for a season, but then there's a slide. It happens with companies, happens with ministries. The ministries that were great 50 years ago, they're not here today. The companies that were great 50 years ago, very few of them are here today. Why? They ran out of vision. And when they ran out of vision, they maintained, and they maintained long enough until that lack of vision eroded every good thing about that company until it went out of business, every good thing about that church, every good thing about that ministry until it went under. And that's why most of the cathedrals that were the prime source of ministry in their cities 200 years ago are now not ministering at all. Their museums. Why? No vision. Where there is no vision, things start to perish. So you got one of two options. You can maintain and see decrease, or you can choose to have vision and see increase. I know which way I'm going. So the Lord was leading me, trying to stir up that spirit of faith. See, faith can be taught. You can come to church and hear about faith, but faith can also be caught. It's a spirit of faith. That's why it's important you get in the right church that has a spirit of faith on it, where you leave with that spirit of faith and leave with, oh, I've got to do something greater. And you leave believing God. So with this, one of the things that the Lord helped me with to get me back over into this place was the story of Joseph. Story of Joseph in Genesis. And while we're reading this on the screens, if you can go to Isaiah 61, verse 9. Isaiah 61 and verse 9. Genesis chapter 37. And let's look at verse 3. Now Israel was Jacob's name. God changed Jacob's name to Israel. Loved Joseph, which was his son, more than all of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him being Joseph, a coat of many colors. Genesis 37, now verse 4. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all of his brethren, how did they know that? How did they look at Joseph and say, our father loves him more than he loves us? How did they know it? The coat. The coat gave it away. It wasn't just a nice coat. It was a symbol of the father's love for Joseph. So when they saw that, they got mad. And they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Now notice verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream. Underline that. Joseph dreamed a dream. Are you dreaming a dream? Joseph dreamed a dream. And he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he tells them what the dream is in verse 6. Now go to verse 9. And he dreamed yet another dream. And he told it to his brethren. And he said, behold, I've dreamed a dream. And he tells them what the dream is. In verse 18, he leaves them, then starts walking back towards them. And when they saw him, they being his brothers, afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Would people describe you as a dreamer? This dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, let us slay him, cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured of him. Why? We want to see what will become of his dreams. What were they after? They weren't just after Joseph. They were after his what? His dreams. Let's see what happens to his dreams. Let's put him through this, and let's see what happens to his dreams. And watch what they did in verse 23. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto him, his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. I was reading this one day just for fun, just for my own personal devotional, and the Lord really started dealing with me about dreaming once again. And he showed me this, that Joseph was dreaming a dream. And he asked me that question I already asked you. He said, what dream are you dreaming? Not what dream have you dreamt? What dream are you dreaming? I said, that's a good question, Lord. And so I wrestled with God. And here's was my wrestling. I talked about this a little Wednesday night. Is, Lord, I don't know how far you want me to take this. Because as I look over my past prayer journals and I look over past things when I was a much younger man, I see someone who is incredibly ambitious. And ambition is good, but it can also be dangerous. It can lead to a lot of pride. You remember David when he numbered the people. It was all because he wanted to see how many people he had so he could brag about it. It was pride, and before pride or after pride, there's always a fall. So with that, I told the Lord, I don't want to fall into that trap. How much is too much? How far do you want me to take this? Not just me personally, but the church itself. How far do you want to take it? And really what it was is like I've said this before, when you're young, all you think about is the dream. Once you live a little bit, you realize the cost to the dream. So when you start to dream, you start immediately thinking about the cost. And so I told the Lord, I'm pretty satisfied. We got a building that's paid for. We got 4 full services. We're seeing the Lord do some great things. We're helping a lot of people all over the world. We're blessing this community. We got an outreach downtown. All of those things we're only going to do more of because we are debt-free, and so we're blessed financially. This is good. This is a good place. Let's just kind of maintain this for a while. Once again, the Lord dealt with me. No, no, no. You can't maintain this for a while. You can maintain it for a season. But if you fall into that rut, eventually it will decrease. He said, you got a dream. Are you dreaming a dream? And I said, Lord, I don't know how far to take it. And so he helped me with this story. This is how he helped me. Joseph never dreamed until he got his father's coat. Once he got the coat, that's when Joseph dreamed. Up to that point, he had never dreamed a dream. But once he got the coat, that's when he started dreaming. Now, once again, this was not just a good-looking coat. It wasn't a coat with magic powers. The coat was symbolic of the father's love. Jacob, Israel, loved Joseph more than all of his sons. People say, well, why? Well, if you know the story, we talked about this in the Land of Ur series. Jacob had 2 wives. One was Rachel, who apparently was just gorgeous. One was her sister, who apparently was not. And with this, Jacob got tricked into marrying the older sister, who was not as pretty as Rachel. And not the one he wanted. He got tricked into that through his Laban, his father-in-law. And so with this, we talked about this once again, the Land of Ur. Rachel's sister is just cranking out all these kids. But Rachel went for the longest time not being able to have children until she had Joseph. And when Joseph was born, apparently he looked like his mother. He was very, very handsome. We see that in the story of Potiphar. And Joseph so reminded, now this is important, so reminded Jacob of Rachel that for no good reason of what Joseph may have done for Jacob, Jacob chose to set his love upon Joseph. Joseph didn't have to work for the love. Joseph didn't have to do anything to deserve the love. There was nothing Joseph did that was anything different from what his brothers did. There was nothing in and of Joseph that made him special that he was doing. It's just Jacob decided to set his love upon Joseph. And when he chose to set his love upon Joseph, he did it by robing him, by putting a coat on him, a coat of many colors, which was symbolic of that love. After the coat, Joseph began to dream. Joseph's dreams seemed very selfish in nature. We'll talk about that in a minute. They seemed very selfish in nature, but they were powered by this love that the father had for Joseph. When his enemies wanted to take away the dream, they also took his coat. They took his coat off of him. And this was symbolic because later in Potiphar's house, his coat got taken off of him too. The enemy's always trying to disrobe you. It's my next point. We have this amazing God, who for fun makes planets. I mean, literally, all these planets that seem useless, Jupiter, Saturn, that's just God having fun. He can hold the whole world in the palm of his hand. He can speak and create forms and mountains. He's the most creative being ever in the history of the world. All of our creativity pales in comparison to his. He's a visionary. He's a dreamer. He's a God of increase. And he comes to us and says, I'm going to love you. Why? Not because you've earned it. Not because you deserve it. Not because of anything that you did. I have chosen to set my love upon you. In fact, while you were yet sinners, I've chosen to love you. Well, why are you loving us? Because I want to be in a relationship with you, yes, but also I've got some things for you to do. I've got some dreams I need you to dream. I've got you some places that your life's supposed to go. I've got races for you to run. I've got destinies for you to fulfill. And you need me to get them done. I'm the dream maker. I'm the dream giver, yes, but I'm the dream maker. So I'm going to set my love upon you. And when I set my love upon you, I'm going to do it by doing something. I'm going to robe you. Isaiah 61 verse 9, it said their descendants, talking about Christians, will be recognized and honored among the nations. Everyone will realize they are the people the Lord has blessed. How? The same way Joseph's brothers knew Joseph was the one the Lord has blessed. Verse 10, he's going to robe us. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God. He has dressed me with the clothing of salvation. He has draped me in a robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom in his wedding suit or a bride with her jewels. Notice when we got born again, what did we get? We got the garment of salvation and we got the robe of righteousness. These two things do something. They guarantee his love for us. It's not just a fancy coat. Righteousness is not just a fancy word. It's him setting his love upon us. Righteousness just simply means right standing with God. It means regardless of your past actions, attitudes, behavior, sins, faults, failures, you can draw near unto God with perfect boldness and assurance because he's not loving you based off of your worth to him. He is loving you based off of the fact that he has set his love upon you. So he says, come here, let me love you. Come here and let me put you in perfect right standing with me that even when you miss it, you can come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? You're clothed. Well, what do we have this amazing love for? Why are we so amazingly loved? Is it so we can come to church and sing Kumbaya and get in little prayer circles and hold hands and just revel in his love? Well, yes, God wants us to enjoy his love. But his love is not just there for us to feel loved. His love is there to empower us. To empower us to know that we're not living anymore with our own abilities. That even if you have a lot of abilities, you're not going to glory in them because you're going to glory in the fact that you know him. So it comes back to how much do you need him? Right now in your life, how much do you need him? Right now, how much pressure are you putting on the Lord in your day in, day out walk with Him? See, what happens with this message of faith is we've taken faith and we said we'll use it when we have a need. And so a need arises in our life, and most of the times we take all of our natural strength, all of our natural resources to try to meet that need. And once we expend all of our natural resources, all of our natural abilities to meet that need, and the need is still there, we make phrases like this: well, we've done everything, now let's pray. Well, we've done all we can do, now let's pray. So it's like, okay, now that we've done everything we can do and the need is still here, now let's ask God for His strength. And this is the way most Christians live. They pray and they fellowship, but they don't use faith until a need comes up. A need comes up in the business, let's use faith. A need comes up in the family, let's use faith. And God said, when did faith become reserved for just needs? Have I not commanded you to live by faith? To wake up every day with something passionate, burning in your heart that you're depending on me to bring to pass in your life. Need me, want me, dream a big dream. And this is where God was with me. How much, Joel, how much in your life are you needing me? How much do you need me? I know you need me to minister because I'm keenly aware of my ability without Him when I minister. When I'm not anointed, my own voice annoys me. I mean, I'm up here and I annoy myself when He's not helping me. I am keenly aware of my need for Him with this. But outside of this, I realized, Lord, You're right. I'm using my own natural abilities to maintain this. And when a need rises up, you know, a kid has an illness or something like that, then I get in faith. But I can remember when I was living by faith with the brave new adventure of building a building and going to multiple services and just that passion to see God show up and do amazing things. And yes, how challenging it was, but yes, how fun it was. Needing God. Walking on water. And the Lord says, come on. It's time to step out of the boat again. And I know He's right. And He cured it for me. Well, how far is too far? Well, what do you want? What do you desire? See, my dream comes from knowing He loves me. And when I know He loves me, it's easy for me to dream. I'll share this quick story with you. I'm running out of time. Man, you guys are listening so good. I appreciate this. I'll tell you this story. During all this, and this was really the kind of nail that just finished it, the straw that broke the camel's back in my life. Me and my wife, we went on a trip. And at the trip, it was a conference we were going to, and we met up with another couple who was also going to that conference. And they're an older couple, but they're some of me and my wife's best friends, mentors in our lives, and they're just splendid people. And so after the conference one day, we decided we'd go down to the little strip where everything was, all the little shops and restaurants and all those kinds of things. We went and ate dinner, and after dinner, we were just going to walk the little strip where the shops were. And so the ladies decided they were going to go shopping, and this is where it's nice to have someone to shop with your wife, because me and the male just decided we're going to sit on this bench and eat some ice cream. So we eat gelato, sea salt, caramel, and chocolate gelato. Come on, somebody. Come on. Come on. So that's the way to shop. Your wife's shopping, you're eating ice cream on a bench, having a good conversation. So with this, we're sitting there and we decide we better go check up with our wives and make sure, you know, we're safe financially. So with this, we walk away and we go find them and we decide we'll walk kind of further down the strip, then we'll walk back to where our car is. So we're walking back to where our car is, and the lady who's with my wife tells me, we're walking in front, me and the guy I'm with. She calls to me and she says, Joel. I said, yes, ma'am. Turned around and said, yes, ma'am. She said, we were in this jewelry store right here. We were passing by. And your wife went in there and saw a charm she wanted for her Pandora bracelet. And I, you know, I'm not overly familiar with Pandora, but basically it's like a little line, little metal deal you can snap on your wrist and then put little charms on it to represent things. You know, if you're a Christian, you get a little cross. If you're spirit-filled, you may get a little dove, you know, something, whatever. If you got a kid, maybe a soccer ball, something like that, you snatch on all these little deals to be symbolic of who you are. And so with that, she said, there's a little charm in here she likes. And I turned to my wife and said, really? And she was acting a little shy. You know, she didn't want to ask. And so I said, you want the charm? And she said, no. Now, every husband knows, right? Every husband knows this. When your wife says no, it means yes. It really means yes. She's saying no, but that type of no means yes. Like if she just said no, that means no. But no means yes. You want me to go get your hamburger? No, that means she wants you to go get the hamburger. So with this, I knew the code. She really wants that charm. She really wants that. But we were busy, and I was thinking about our budget. And so with this, I don't know how much these things cost. And with this, I just said, you really want it? And she said, no. And so I just kind of left it at that. And we got back to the hotel room where the conference was at. And man, my heart was convicting me. And I told her, I said, I'm so sorry. I didn't even ask to go into the shop and look at the thing. I repent. I'm a better husband than that. I repent to you. I'm sorry about that. And so it was no big deal. So anyway, a couple of weeks later, we're back, and we come to church one night. And after the service, we're leaving, she got an envelope from someone. A lady walked up to her just with this envelope, gave it to her. And we're in the car, she opens up the envelope, it's got a little card in it. And the card just says this: I was praying the other day, and the Lord spoke to my heart to give you this. It was an amount of money, so that you could buy a new charm for your Pandora bracelet. And we hadn't told anyone of it. That was just a conversation between me and her. This lady wasn't there. It was just the Lord. And the Lord used that to bless my wife, obviously. He used that to bless me because I enjoy seeing my wife get blessed. But more than that, the Lord was saying, do you see, son, what I've been trying to get over to you? I just want you to desire something. Because see, there are some desires that God puts on your heart. Like Moses in the burning bush. Moses, I'm calling you to do this. Like Joseph here, go out and do this. Joseph got this dream from the Lord. And there's some desires that God puts on your heart. But there are other desires that God fulfills off your heart. That your heart desires something, and He fulfills those desires. And what I've seen in my life is that the desires that come off my heart are simply the training wheels to get me to learn how to believe for what He puts on my heart. And the more proficient I get for desires that come off of my heart and believing God and seeing those things come in are a tree of life for the things He puts on my heart. Put it this way, when Joseph dreamed, I can't believe I'm out of time, but when Joseph dreamed, it seemed to everyone, including himself, at the end of the dream that this dream was very selfish. In his dreams, you can go home and read it, he basically sees his brothers and father bowing down to him. And when he communicates it to everyone else, it sounds like, man, that's very selfish. That's all you want for you is more for you. You want all of us to be there for you. So when he communicates that, it sounds very selfish. Like all Joseph is dreaming of is personal ambition for himself. But we know when the dream was fulfilled, what did it do? Yes, Joseph was very well blessed, but at the end of it, when the dream finally came into reality, that what Joseph held in his heart finally held in his hand, what did it enable Joseph to do? It enabled him to be a blessing to every one of those people. That now the greatness of the dream had not only made Joseph great, it made a nation great, and it made his brothers great, and it made a nation come out of them that was great. And the Lord showed me. See, all these things you're believing for, all these things, it's training you for to believe what I want you to believe for. And I'll use it. And once it's in, once the dream is over, once you've run your race, once you've finished your course, and we all have a course we're going to finish, once it's over, yes, you'll see it's been a blessing to you. But more than that, you're going to see it was a blessing to so many others. Why take life to the next level? It's not just about you, champ. When your life is at the next level, how many more people can you reach? How many more missionaries can you help? It wasn't Joseph's dream, wasn't just about Joseph. When he first dreamed it, that's all anyone could think about. That's just Joseph trying to make his life greater. But when Joseph's life was greater, he made their lives greater in the process. And I'm telling you, friends, there's some lives that are waiting on your life. There's some destinies that are waiting on you to fulfill your destiny. And the only way you're going to fulfill it is to dream again. You got to get aggressive with your faith, step out of the boat, and believe God to walk on water every step of the way. It's time to get in faith. Amen? Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me pray with you. Father, we love you today. And we thank you, Lord. The just will live by faith. And we choose. We will do it, Lord. We will take new territory. We will expand. We will grow. We'll be all you called us to be. We love you, Lord. Now, before we leave, I want to give everyone an opportunity to make a decision for Jesus. I understand that this is a rainy Sunday, so I'm sure we have a lot of home folk here. But in case you have stumbled in here today, or maybe you've been here for a while, but you know you need to make a decision for Jesus. You know, you know. You know, you know. Right now, are you right with Jesus? Are you born again? And if you are you dedicated to him? And if you say, Pastor Joel, how do I know if I'm not? It's real easy. Right now, I've got a helper. His name's the Holy Spirit. And I guarantee you, if you're not right with Jesus, there's something right now tugging on your heart. There's something right now pulling on you, just on the inside, rubbing you on the inside. In the lower part of your stomach, there's something right there just kind of gnawing at you, trying to get your attention, saying that's you. And if that's you this morning, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make people's eyes be on you. This is just between you and the Lord. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. But if that's you this morning, you say, Pastor Joel, I need to make a decision for Jesus. Right now, without any fear, worry, or hesitation, lift up your hand. Lift it up, lift it up. If you say, I know I need to make a decision for Jesus, hands going up. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you. See those hands. Anyone else? Oh, he loves you. Anyone else? Thank you. See those hands. See those hands. Now you can lower your hands. And everyone in here, whether you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, didn't raise your hand, everyone in here, say this prayer with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe you sent Jesus to die for me. I believe not only did he die, but on the third day, he rose again from the grave. Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my Savior. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Jesus, you've forgiven me, so I forgive myself. And I say boldly, my best days are starting right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, amen. We want to thank you so much for coming out to worship.